volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Green Card.
Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, coming up in an hour and a half at 6:30 Pacific, we'll have Santa Claus visiting with the kids. And I say 6:30 Pacific because ordinarily we are heard 7 to 10 at night on the West Coast. And I say West Coast because our show is syndicated. And I only point that out because some listeners will be confused who are listening to us in our new markets of Reno and Green Bay. And they'll say, well, whatever this is, we don't want to hear this California Fantasyland crap. And they'll tune out. But in any event, at 6:30, Santa Claus will be here with us. And we are filling in this afternoon in Los Angeles for Carell and Andrew, who are great guys. And they've asked us to do this fill-in in the afternoon drive hours because, after all, it's Christmas time and who's listening to the radio anyway? So that's a great vote of confidence as well. And I really respect and admire and love our director of programming, vice president of syndication, and all-around radio god, David G. Hall, for giving us this opportunity. I think David's gone home for the day already. And the other thing, of course, we were asked. Now, here is something. What are you guys staring at? You want to hear some crap? You think I'm going to lay some crap out about David now? Oh, they're visitors. I'm sorry. You guys are I thought you worked here. I got two people staring in the window. I thought they worked here and they wanted to hear the dirt on David Hall. And they're two visitors. Very nice ladies. Forgive me. Anyway, our program director, David G. Hall of KFI, a real slob. Oh, she got a mean look on her face on that one. And I said, look, Mark Thomas, who does our news, he says, Phil, we put together a programming deal for New Year's Eve Day. I said, what's that? He says, we're going to have a meeting of the mouths. That is, all of the talk show hosts will get together, sit around, and jaw-jack all this bullcrap, right? Now, I don't know about you, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. I've always hated those. I've always despised them with every fiber of my being. These meeting of the mouths, jive ass, jaw jacks that go on for hours interminably about stuff nobody cares about. And people have to walk in and pretend as if they're really down with that whole Gray Davis versus Lundgren, you know, whatever was going on during the last one. Is it going to be here? Is it going to be remote? I think it was going to be here. That they're going to have this thing. I don't like them. I mean, it's just, it's my own personal point of view. Believe me, I know that people work hard putting these things together, come up with these ideas. You know what? I work hard enough on my own show, all right? And when I come here on New Year's Eve day, I took the day off. So Mark asked me, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And I felt guilty. Why did I feel guilty? Because I got 26 years of programming that runs counter to me saying, no, I won't. I've got 26 years of programming that tells me, take every single solitary offer of work. Take it all. Take every shift. I mean, I did that. You start in this business, you are working every single shift that they ask you to work. You're working afternoons, you're working mornings, you're working middays, you're working overnights. They want you to do the public affairs job. They want you to do the news director job. They want you to do the music director job. You take every one of those jobs because you're trying to learn it all. You're trying to elevate yourself, climb up the ladder, move out of the small, into the medium, up to the large, and, you know, progress and evolve your career. Well, I got to a certain point now where I have grown, I guess, just big enough of a pair to say, no, I'm not working on New Year's Eve day. And no, I'm not going to work on Christmas Eve either. I've worked plenty of Christmases and I've worked plenty of Christmas Eves. I've worked hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them. I've worked Christmases and Thanksgivings where I was in the studio and friends of mine would bring me a paper plate with turkey on it and dressing, and you'd sit there and you'd work your shift. I've worked Thanksgivings and Christmases trying to do a talk show where there isn't a human being, there isn't a soul alive listening to you. Because you may not know this, and most of you probably do, nobody listens to talk radio on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving that has a family, any semblance of a life, any semblance of a worthwhile life. They're not listening to a talk station. They're just not. And forgive me for saying this, but anyone that is sitting there calling a talk station on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day is in serious need of something to do. Maybe a family. Go baste a turkey, man. You know, something, I wouldn't take any. If I was in here working on Christmas Day, I wouldn't take any calls because I'd be afraid of the people I'd be calling. I wouldn't want to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to talk to them. I wouldn't want to involve myself with anybody. Hi, Phil. Happy Merry Christmas. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, man. What are you doing? I'm at a payphone in Santa Monica, and I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. I don't want to talk to those guys, so I don't want to work on Christmas. Well, gee, Phil, you're right. Somebody does have to work on Christmas. You know who gets to work on Christmas? All the guys that are coming in the door, the 19, 20, 21-year-old guys, the Tony Sorrentinos of the world, the Craig Taylors of the world, the guys that got no wives, that got no families, they can pick up and move at a minute's notice. They're living out of their car anyway. What difference does it make? Tony can come in here and work the shift. What people, I don't know, Carl and Andrew like working on holidays. Let them come in here and work. And I got a big, big news flash for you, by the way. I learned this one the hard way, because a lot of times the program director will tell you this. You know, the more shifts you work, the more your opportunity to get a listener, get listening people, get a base of listeners. People will really hear you. Bull crap. Not on Christmas. Ain't going to get you any more listeners working on Christmas or Thanksgiving or New Year's than just working any other day. And I got that. I know Mark just walked by with a real bad look on his face. I'm sorry. And I got another news flash. Me working that Rose Parade for 3 years running didn't earn me one additional new listener. Not one. All I did was bother people with my Rose Parade broadcast who ordinarily would have got up to listen to Rush and Handel. And now they're listening to this big mouth with Harvey and Margaret doing all that shtick. They didn't dig it, and it wasn't worth it. So we stopped doing our New Year's Rose Parade broadcast. Because I've reached a point in my life, I'm old, cranky, fat, and I'm not driving in on a holiday. And I love this because Schaaf just got done working at Costco. And this isn't Costco. It's any business, okay? It always works out that the guys that work on a day off, the guys that work on a holiday, the people that are going in on a holiday, whether it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, the people that are going in working on a holiday are only the lower echelon, lower rung, blue-collar guys. What is it with the bosses aren't dragging their rear ends in there and working on a day like that, okay? It is understood. I remember early on in radio, well, the general manager gets the day off, and all the program director ain't here, and all the sales guys aren't here. Guess who's working? The big star, me. $110 a week, and all of the mints I can steal off one of the guys' desks there, and if I can get somebody to go out and get me cigarettes and coffee, I'm really living now. I'm in there spinning the records, and the big star, and everybody else has got the day off. And I, it took a while for that to sink in that it wasn't working out good. Somehow I was on the short end of the stick on this thing. So it didn't take long, maybe 2 decades, 2.5 decades. I finally said, you know what? I'm not working on any holidays. God bless you. You can get one of the younger guys to come in here, drag their asses in here. I got a wife and a family. I work my ass off Monday through Friday. I ain't working on New Year's, Thanksgiving, or Christmas because it's not earning me one additional listener. The only people listening on those days are really, really, forgive me, really weird people. Very odd. Unless you're playing some Christmas music. Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. All the radio stations, every rock station I ever worked for, on Christmas, guess what? Christmas music. Yeah, Coast doing that? Only we'd play, for the 895th millionth time, Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Freaking Town over here. Ho, 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 you better watch out. You better not, wow, whatever. And then, of course, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer's Father Christmas. They told me they'd be raining at Christmas or whatever the hell that thing is. You don't know what I'm talking about? With Greg Lake singing? Oh, then get out of here with John Lennon, So This Is Christmas. And it's over and over and over again. Like every third record playing one of those things. Like I heard. And let's not forget, on Thanksgiving, we'll play Alice's Restaurant one more time by Arlo Guthrie. God. So I cashed it in. I went ahead and punched my ticket, Jim, and I left the station. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. That's my problem. I'm Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Can't read that. And you remember that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen? You'll also remember that part where he goes, I'm telling you, the guy's off key. Santa Claus is coming to town. And you're like, I'm stuck inside of a blockhouse radio station on Christmas playing this crap. This song is 100 years old. When it first came out, it was 100 years old. And he's got the big fat Clarence Clemings, you know, going, ho, 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 Santa Claus is coming. Wow, Santa Claus. Wow, Santa Claus. God. And that Mannheim Steamroller, but that's a whole different discussion. So you hate Christmas music, huh? I don't mind it, man. We got a little Bing Crosby thing that we do. My wife throws on some of this weird Bing stuff. I don't know what it is. Real old Bing stuff. I mean, it's okay. It's okay just to throw it on there for one day out of the year. You don't have to hate it. But if you got to hear the same songs over and over again, rock and roll is really thin on some good rock, you know, Christmas song. Get out of here with that rocking around the Christmas tree crap. That's dead and buried. But ain't been nothing new since, you know. Even if you are playing that, what was it, Artists United for Africa? Remember that Do They Know It's Christmas? It was that whole thing that they did back, yeah, Band-Aid. That one's gotten the crap beat out of it, too. Here, look at this. Very Special Christmas.
Here's the first
one. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the Pointer Sisters. Boy, that must be great. I can't wait to hear that. Eurythmics, Winter Wonderland. I've heard that. It's horrible. One of the problems being that the Eurythmics are a pretty decent group. I mean, you know. But get out of here. Whitney Houston, Do You Hear What I Hear? And here we go. Bruce Springsteen of the E Street Band with Merry Christmas Baby. Done by Otis Redding, it ain't bad. But listening to this grease monkey doing it, you know, it just... And I like Bruce, sort of, I guess. Jewel has an entire Christmas album that she's just released. John Cougar Mellencamp, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Can't wait to hear that. Here's one for the Pretenders. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I've heard that. It's particularly nauseating because it's a ballad and it just is not that band. What I'm saying is most of these groups that do Christmas music, their personalities go away for one song. They decide, okay, we won't be us. We'll do this crap can Christmas music because I guess we need to sell a few albums at Christmas time or at least keep our name uppermost in the minds of people who buy our albums. So we'll do a Christmas song. And in so doing those songs, it doesn't sound anything like the group. Or anything that they stand for that they do musically. And the Pretenders, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I can't tell you how much that sucks. Run DMC Christmas in Hollis? Who the hell is that? Is that Queens? Hold on for a minute. I got a cornet stuck in my throat. Yeah.
Good idea,
a little sangrita, baby. Never hurt anybody, okay? A little bit of sangrita never hurt anybody. Chris Cornell of Soundgarden does Ave Maria. What's that sound like? Okay. You too. Christmas, Baby Please Come Home, Madonna, Santa Baby, Bob Seger. Here's a group, every time I hear their name, I begin to retch just a little bit. And now, when I see the song title affixed to the name of this band, it's a full-blown projectile puke. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band with Little Drummer Boy. Oh, man, it just sails across the room. Here's Bryan Adams with Run, Rudolph, Run, which is only passable. Even Chuck Berry's version is barely passable. Bon Jovi, Backdoor Santa. Alison Moyet, The Coventry Carol, and Stevie Nicks with Silent Night. How dull could that... How dull could that be, listening to Stevie Nicks warble through that thing with the vocal nodules? With those vocal nodules, you got no... forgive me. God, am I cranky. Very cranky. Very boring when you're cranky, Phil. You know you're right, but guess what? It's Monday. It's a few days before Christmas, so I'll be boring. I don't care. Frank Sinatra and Cyndi Lauper, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now, ain't that wonderful? Isn't that a nice little melding of generational musics there? Frank and Cyndi, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I bet you that sucks beyond all recognition. Could throw that on there. I bet you that thing on ice... Frank and Cyndi, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now we got one here. Sting. The mere mention of his name. All I can think of is the acoustic version of Message in a Bottle, and that causes me to want to hurt people. Here we go. I bet you this is just so, so overdone.
You better watch out.
Yeah.
You better not cry.
I knew it.
You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
No, she has a voice.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Suddenly, Cindy's got a voice.
He's making a list, checking it twice. He's gonna find out.
Here's where we make Frank feel good.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Really?
He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake.
Get that loup abroad. Hey, Frank, who do you want to have sing with? Oh, hey, get that loup abroad. Get the redhead, that freaky, kooky broad. Get the broad who's kooky. You know what I'm saying? Any chance of shag a broad like that? All right, get that little broad. She's funny looking, though. You know, but there's something kind of sexy about it. Hey, Frank, hey. I want to get my name back on the charts or something, man. Get that loup abroad. Get that... Who's that bone... who's the boner kid? Get that kid boner. Yeah, Frank, you can sing with a kid boner from U2.
Yeah, that's the guy.
You know, look at Bing. You got that Bowie, David, Jim Bowie. I'm just singing with that bonehead. What are they, showcasing the band? Who came there?
Better
sing.
Watch out. You better not
great.
Better
Cindy Lauper's horn section.
I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay, cue Cindy. There we go.
He's checking it twice.
She cute.
He's gonna find out who's been naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And you know, Frank ruled these sessions, you know. In other words, you're going to do it Frank's way. Hey, get the loup abroad. Come up, bring the broad in here. You leave it abroad. You sing some Christmas music, hey? Hey, baby. They're not doing no Cyndi Lauper version of that. That's Frank's version, because Frank's ruling that session. So Cindy comes in. She sounded like Theodore the Chipmunks. All right, we'll be back with some other winners like I Believe in You, Sinead O'Connor, and Bonnie Raitt and Charles Brown, Merry Christmas Baby. Yet another version of that coming up here on The Phil Henry Show. Here's Jeff Beck with Do You Feel What I Feel?
Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка.
Anyway, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Frank Sinatra and Cyndi Lauper, which I'm told was a bi-coastal effort. In other words, Frank was on this coast and Cyndi was on the other coast. She's in New York. And you know that that's a session that was done according to what Frank Sinatra wanted to do. There's no Cyndi Lauper in that, right? Hey, bitch. Hey, come on.
Frank!
Shay, whoa, shut up, bitch. She's going to sing a song, huh? What is all of this? You know, that bleach in your hair? You know, it's making you lightheaded. And all of that Lou Albano stuff. Hey, you better watch out. You better not cry.
Better watch out!
Holy Christ. You're going to have to get in there and do that. Do it right. Hey. Maybe he slapped her around a little bit. Hey, Cindy, hey, come here for a minute.
You know, Frank, it's really...
Come on, will you? Come on! Let's talk more sing, huh?
You know, Frank, hey, shut up!
So what happened was in all those sessions Frank did with all those people, he slapped them all around. He went in there with Boner, slapped him around. He slapped Cyndi Lauper around. Went in there with, who's the guy? Luis Miguel. Slapped him around. He cuffed him around for about a half hour. Just had to slap some sense into these people, so they're doing it the Frank way. You got Cyndi Lauper going to that. You know, I did a song called Girls Who Just Want to Have Fun. Hey,
whoa.
Ain't nothing to do that girls just want to have, what is it, lesbian or lesbonic? Or whatever it is you're doing. Hey. Anytime they acted up or anytime they sounded better than him, he'd slap them around. He'd have Jilly come in and slap him around. All right, let's hear it back, Frank. Hey, you better. Hey, what are you trying to sound better than me, Boner? Well, I'm not sure, Frank. I'm trying to... Hey, turn this around. Hey, slap him around, Julie. So they walk in there and they cuff Bono around. Because the guy sounded better than Frank.
Hey, I want to tell you people something that...
Yeah, you tell him, Julie.
Yeah, ain't no sounding better than the chairman over here, you right? Huh? Ain't no sounding better than the chairman. Otherwise, he's going to cuff you around. That's right. I got a song here that I'm...
Okay, so we've milked that. So all those songs suck. What else you want to talk about? 1-800-449-8686. Jeez, we've given the phone number out all hour, and we haven't gotten one phone call we can use. Well, that's all right. Don't forget, coming up at 6:30, we have... This is a Monday show. We're whatever it is that we're doing, we're just going to keep on doing it. At 6:30, we do have Santa Claus. Get the kids gathered around the radio. If, in point of fact, you have kids, if we have anybody remaining listening to this radio station right now that has kids, 6:30, Santa Claus will be with us. So we aren't going to work on Christmas Eve. We're not working on New Year's Eve. We're not working New Year's Day. We're not working Christmas Day. And I know that probably there are a few who work here listening to me right now and they say, okay, Phil, don't make a big deal out of it. It's no big deal taking off Christmas. I got a big news flash for you. Yes, it is. When you're working here, it is. When you work in this particular position behind this thing called a microphone, sitting there with these things on your head called headphones, it's weird taking off Christmas and New Year's. And you got guilt trips. I mean, it's going for months, weeks. You're in therapy over the fact that you worked at Christmas. Now, what is it that you were saying to me, Mike? In other words, you put down on a vacation request, I'm taking Christmas off, and somebody walks up to you and says... You sure you want Christmas off? No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No, I really don't. You sure you wouldn't mind? Hey, could you work Christmas? Oh, you mean the thing that I turned in that said I want Christmas off? In other words, that's not binding mentally on you, is that it? No, it hasn't quite struck me yet. Can you work Christmas? Sure. I'll go ahead and work Christmas. I thought I'd just take a shot, put down that I want Christmas off, and see if anybody around here'd take me seriously. But apparently not. So, yes, I will work. Thanks a lot, man. That way I can take my 18th Christmas in a row off and be with my kids. I think a lot of these guys that want to be with their kids on Christmas shouldn't be with their kids on Christmas. Why do I say that? I don't know. I think it might change of pace. Bring your kids to work on Christmas. So you put it down. You want the day off. And then they call you up and they say, well, you want to come in and do this gig that we're going to put together on New Year's Eve? No, I don't. And I feel bad because they're going to put, I don't know, maybe they're not even going to do it. How many people said yes to that? All the way to 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve? Think about that, Mike. Did they call you in to work that? Yeah, they did. I know they did because they have to have board ops in here to work that. They're going to if they're still going to do it. Did you put in a request for New Year's Eve off? As well you should. So what happens is this. You're working all the way to 10 o'clock. That blows any party that you wanted to go to. I don't care if you get out of here at 10 and you rush your ass out of here and head on home to wherever it is that you live. You still, what, I mean, most of the party is over after everybody counts it down. Everybody goes home after they say, 3, 2, 1, hey, everyone goes home. So you've got like maybe an hour's worth of party. You end up at a party stinking like a guy that's just been working, especially this New Year. Nobody's going to be hanging around. Everybody's going to be at home with sandbags in front of their door. Everybody's going to be at home counting all the bottled water with a BB, with their laser-sighted BB gun pointing it at every cat that goes down the street for fear it's some looter. Everyone says they're not worried. Well, they probably aren't worried. I don't know. I couldn't care less. If I was truly worried about Y2K, I would have done something about it by now. I ain't doing nothing. I haven't bought one extra can of peas. I haven't gotten one extra dollar bill. I haven't gotten one extra gallon of water. I ain't done jack. And guess what? If it hits, I'm going to be knocking on your door, friend. If Y2K actually does hit with any great force, I'm going to be one of the guys looting your house. Although I should truly stack up on the sangrita. You know what? I'm going to. No, seriously, I'm going to be at your front door. Hi, I'm Phil. Can I borrow a can of refried beans? Because I know you got them. Yeah, that's right. I'm not stocking up because I figure the guy next door is stocking up, so I'll just go into his garage and grab what I want. And if he confronts me, well, then I guess we have ourselves a looting situation. if the guy turns on a flashlight and see, I'll just pretend like I'm a raccoon or a cat or something. But if it gets really serious, I guess we'll just have a gun battle right there in his garage. Because I ain't stocking up on Jack. We'll be having a firefight behind the cans of peas. Be like the OK Corral. A gun battle in my neighbor's garage because he's got all kinds of canned peas and refried beans and I don't. Oh! Because I'm like, I got big news for you. I ain't stacking up on nothing. You know, you want to know why? Come on, give me your hormone, you asshole. I know you got some in there. You want to know why? Because there comes a time when you got to grow up and draw a line in the sand and cool it with all of this garbage, you fools. Grow up. Nothing's going to happen. Everything. You know why? Because we are destined to have to stick through this crap slowly, day by day. There isn't going to be any big event to bail you out. To bail you out of this world, bail you out of your bills, bail you out of your responsibility to your kids, your community, whatever the hell else you got going on. There will be no big event. It's going to be life as usual, just putting your foot in front of the other one, one step at a time, one day at a time. Same old sorry-ass, slow-ass, drag-ass world that we live in. Sometimes exciting, sometimes boring. Every day, though, you wake up, and here it is. So grow up and break out your dindy more right now, because you ain't going to need it on January 1st. I know you don't believe me. I know that things can happen. I know that there's hurricanes and floods. And what about all those third world nations that aren't Y2K prepared? Hey, wait a second. Those cats are getting nailed with typhoons every year anyway. Those guys ain't prepared for nothing. What are you talking about? All those third world countries are not prepared for Y2K. Those cats ain't prepared for a good rainstorm, man. Every time it drizzles, they got like 58,000 people dead. They said a mudslide down in Venezuela. You think they're prepared for that? They're already living in mud huts. Hello. They're not Y2K prepared. It could be disaster. They're living in a freaking mud hut right now, man. Well, what about Russia? They're standing in line for a bottle of vodka, for crying out loud. The stuff they need, they do. The stuff they don't need, you're standing in line for that crap. They don't need to prepare for Y2K for the very reason that they are third world communities. That's why they don't need to prepare. The only guys that got to prepare for Y2K are the jackasses that went out and bought the computers in the first place. This lightweight mentality is going to end. The easy way or the hard way, but it's going to end. This idea that a cataclysmic event will wash away the world's sins and wash away the world's refuse. And suddenly we'll wake up after 48 hours or 72 hours, a newly cleansed planet. And this cataclysmic event will shake the rotten structures and foundations of contemporary government. And suddenly, a new world will be born. This claptrap and falderall and bullcrap is exactly that. It's not going to happen because you're going to wake up on January 1st with the same old problems you had on December the 31st, Jim. Only you'll have about 68,000 cans of Dinty more that you didn't have the day before. That you're going to have to find a way to get rid of. And I say we come over to my house and have a chili contest or something. I can't wait. Hey, and by the way, one other thing. You can get yourself a tremendous value in Vegas right now for a hotel room. Did you try calling them back like I said, Mike? Now, what was it? Can I mention the name of the hotel? The Luxor was offering $500 a night, right? And I said check back 2 weeks before. I bet you they've cut that into a quarter of that. But you can get it there for like $100.50 a night now. All of these hotels are drastically reducing all of these obnoxious rates they were charging, thinking that people were actually going to want to go out and sweat and rub elbows and get greasy with all these other creeps on New Year's Eve. I mean, you know, it's an antisocial world we live in right now. I mean, it might get better, but right now we're all rather antisocial. We're living behind gates, for crying out loud. It makes you think we ought to spend $5, man, to go rub up and down next to some other clown to see Barbara Streisand. It's going to be about the size of a Dinty Moore bean. Ain't going to happen. So that's why I'm getting home tonight and I'm making my plans. New Year's Eve in Las Vegas. The prices are right now. And I bet you I can even get in to see old Babs. For like $100 a seat. Anyway, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Thank you all who showed up at Rock Honda on Saturday. We had a terrifically successful day selling the best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, 1999, Communism is Neat. And we made about $10,000. We had a little over 500 people show up, stand in line and wait very patiently. And we were late getting there, about 50 minutes, but we did sit and sign for 3 hours to try to accommodate everybody. And I was very happy to say that we did. And made a nice piece of change there for my friend's place. And as well, we inaugurated last week sales online. So if you'd like a copy of our CD, The Best of the Phil Hendry Show 99, Communism is Neat, you can log on to philhendryshow.com and you can purchase it there for $23.50, $20 for the CD, $3.50 for shipping and handling. We also have announcements forthcoming about other places that we're going to be signing the CD at. But hold off on that. As soon as we get that, you know, organized, we'll do it for you. I want to mention that Santa Claus is going to be with us here in about 45 minutes. And there was another thing that I wanted to say. I can't remember what it is. God. Oh, yeah. Now I remember. About 6 years ago, I was interviewing this guy. I was on the air in Atlanta. And the guy said to me, I swear to God, this is exactly how he sounded. And I'd found this guy's name in one of these interview books. You know, that radio stations get these books called Interview, Radio and TV Interview Report. And you can go through the book and find people to interview. And there's all kinds of screwy guests in there. And you can go through this book and pick one out and call them up and have them on your show. And this guy, actually, I don't think he was in this book. It was something he mailed to me. That within a year, the world would suffer a contaminating virus that would kill off like 3/4 of the Earth's population. And in America alone, something like 150 to 175 million people would be dead, dying in the street with running lesions. It's something right out of Stephen King. And I got him on the phone, and he sounded like this. He sounded a little bit like Captain Crunch, in fact. 12 nutritious cereal, you know, minerals and vitamins. I'm Captain Crunch. But he was on, he said, I've spent the last year, Mr. Hendry. I have spent the last year. And I've tried to tell as many people as I can of the coming conflagration. I've spent upwards of $100,000 of my own money traveling across this country, trying to get people to understand that the end is upon us, the world is nigh, and that there's horrible disease. And oh, Jesus, this guy was a breath of fresh air. He was Little Miss Mary Sunshine, this guy. And I got to do this and that and all this crap, right? All I asked this guy was this. I said, so everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, Christ, you don't even want to ask about it. You know, it's really a bad scene. This guy's laying it on me, man. The world is coming to an end, he says to me. So all I asked this guy was this. I said, okay, Daddy-O. I said, how about you sign over all of your worldly possessions to me? Well, you know, the world is coming to an end, Phil, and you got to get right with God. That's what he was saying. You got to get right with our Lord and Savior Jesus, because he will judge you. I said, okay, I'm willing to, you know, I believe that you believe that. So since you're going to croak and the whole world's coming to an end, why don't you sign over to me all of your worldly possessions? How much do you figure you're worth? Oh, Christ, I don't know. I'm probably worth about $500,000. All right, I'll take it. You know, just sign it over to me. Why won't you do that? Why won't you sign over all of your worldly possessions to me? Oh, you're making fun of me, you piece of crap. How dare you? Wait a second, man. I ain't making fun of you. I'm asking you a logical question. I believe that you believe that the world is coming to an end. Sign over to me all of your worldly possessions, everything that you own. You think the whole thing's coming to hell in a handbasket, that the banking system's a pile of crap, that you're going to need to trade in steer meat and small babies, or you're going to have to barter children, whatever your thing is. Give me all your crap. No, you son of a bitch. Give me all your crap. I want all your money. You can sign it over to me. Oh, no, not this guy. No. You know that clown didn't have really a good answer for me. He just kept on. The world is going to come to a freaking end, you bastard. How dare you make fun of me? I'm not making fun of you, man. But he couldn't do it. No, he couldn't do it. because he didn't believe in it. He didn't really believe it. It's kind of like these people that, man, I bet you anything that that guy's ass is blue. Okay, I'll bet you $100. Well, I can't afford it. Well, wait a second. You're the guy that just said you really believe that the guy's ass is blue. Well, come on, I'll bet you $100. You really believe it? I totally believe. There's no way that his ass isn't blue. Okay, I'm betting you $10,000 right now. Let's go. I can't afford it. Wait, if you're certain, make the bet. And they all back off. Same thing with these cats that are telling you about the end of the world. Oh, the whole banking system's going to be a pile of crap. Oh, really? Well, go to your checking account now. Write me a big fat check for whatever you got in there. And I'll go ahead and cash it on January 3 when the banks open. And what, will that make you feel better? I don't understand what this is. Oh, yeah, you know, I got all my money in gold now, man. You got any cash left? Well, I got a few $100. Go ahead and lay it on me. No, they ain't going to do that. Because these clowns, they don't know whether to flip or fly, man. They don't know whether to stand up or fall in it. They were told this and that and something else. So they went and they stocked up on Dinty Moore. And they don't even like Dinty Moore. They stocked up on their Hormel. Anyway, make a long story short, this guy is all, you know, oh, you dirty rat. The people called the show, and they're dumping on me. They were dumping on me. All these jackballs calling up, saying, how dare you make fun of this poor old man? Come to find out, this guy had been dropped out of an airplane on his head or something. He was really messed up. You're not really messed up, but I mean, he suffered some kind of a brain thing, you know. And naturally, he's running around the country. Hey, the world is coming to a freaking end. But he's got press releases. He has pamphlets. He has a phone number. He's got a P.O. box. I mean, he's conducting business at least to that extent. And he's getting himself on radio stations and he's being interviewed. So, you know, I didn't say anything about his brain damage. It also said, and Pastor so-and-so was severely, you know, somebody took a 2x4 and caved his freaking head in one day when they found him in bed with his wife. But anyway, he's doing better now. And these people are caught up and they're telling me I'm an ass. God, Mr. Henry, why don't you hear the man out? I heard him out. The world's coming to an end. All I did was ask the guy for his bread. Oh, you can't do that. Hey, buddy, if the world's coming to an end, you ain't going to need that. And all you clowns out there that think the whole banking thing's going to a hell in a handbasket with the Y2K, you start writing some checks over here to Big Phil. Make a few out to Crozier and some to Schaefer. We'll take care of that money. Mm-mm. No, that ain't going to happen, is it? No, yeah, okay. I thought as much. Because if you're cashing it in enough to go out and live in a bunker complex someplace, or you're living out in some militia compound somewhere, you ain't into that bread anyway, no how, right? So lay it on me. Come on! Train's leaving.